thank you, Lord, for that wondrous, powerful, all-powerful blood. God, that won that victory completely over sin and death. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that has raised us together with you and seated us together with you. And, oh, praise God, now we stand, God, with hands raised and hearts full of joy. Lord, thanking you and thanking you and thanking you. Lord, we just are in awe again of the work of your grace. God, your vessels of mercy, how you've called each and every one of us and you have chosen us. And God, what a calling, a high calling. Lord, the height of what you have received, you have called us to share with you. To share with you. Lord, thank you to be seated together with you in that glory. Lord, thank you to be filled and to be glorified together with you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, and here we are receiving that love by the power of the Holy Ghost today. Lord, thank you that you've assembled us and you have assembled us. We're the good soldiers by your grace. We're just mercy soldiers. We come in here only looking to you. God, tattered and worn. Sometimes the discouragements come, but yet somehow, some way, your grace breaks through. And I am more than a conqueror through Christ that loved me. And Lord, you've called me to this battle. And oh, I just remembered the battle is the Lord's. Oh, and God, it's victory all the way. Oh, my sweet Jesus, when you said it is finished, that was for me. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. And Lord, as thou hast believed, you said, honey, as you believe, so be it done unto you. And Lord, just increase our faith this morning. Oh, God, you've given us a time, a place. You've given us a message. You gave us the apostle Paul to us Gentiles. Lord, of the whole council, God, the calling of you, the hope of your calling, your hope for us. Lord, help us to take it. Help us to run. Help us to have praise in our lips and joy unspeakable in our hearts. And we give you the praise for everything, and may everything be said to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm always expecting when we open our eyes, we're just going to see Him. And I love that thought, however it would be, but what a joy it'd be to be gathered together here and then gathered together with Him there. Huh? Praise His name. Go ahead and open your Bibles today. We'll head on over to Isaiah 38, and then you might put your finger in Romans. And hopefully your heart's there too. We'll believe God for this day. Mentioned it earlier, I believe the Lord's called us. We'll have a little two-part series this Sunday and next on the divine love of the Lord and this embrace of divine Lord of the Lord that will be received by Him and by those that believe at His coming. And I believe the reason the Lord has laid this encouragement upon our hearts today, brothers and sisters, is there is a great fight in the body of Christ right now. There's a great fight. And it's a fight of love. It's a fight for passion. It's a fight to remain in first love. And I say that to us with the greatest privilege and honor and truly... I know we bow down to Him, but I descend because of the honor that God has bestowed upon you. We need to remain in first love. Amen. And in that fight that's going on right now, there's a fight against love that would wax cold. Amen. Oh, yes. There's a great fight, brothers and sisters, that we would abide and remain in that first love. There's a fight, praise God, that we would have against, as the Word of God says, love with dissimulation. It means hypocrisy. It's called preferring, that I would fight against preferring
that I love someone more than someone else. This is a fight for brotherly love. And I'm talking about the brothers and the mature sons of God that we are. That we thank the Lord that in the calling that we have, that now are we the sons of God. I've always been thankful for the family that I was raised in. I know our parents loved each of us the same. Even though each and every one of us thought we were the favorite at times, God has a way of doing that too. Oh no. Mom and Dad loved us just the same. And I thank the Lord that in that, all of us love each other the same. We do. My brothers and sisters, we don't prefer one another above the other. We love each other. We're all different. All have different talents, different temperaments in certain ways. And we just love one another because God did that divinely through our parents. Well, God divinely does that through Himself to give us only that love. So we understand that if we're not loving with that perfect love, that's something that we're not receiving of our parent, the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Paul said to us, and I say to us, because he's the apostle that God gave to us. He said to us that our love would not just be fervent, but it would even grow more and more for one another. Grow more and more for one another. I think of that often. How does that happen for our love to grow really for one another? You pray for one another. You think of that one. And how the Lord has come to reveal His love in me for you. See, He reveals that to me. He put it there, but then He reveals it and He continues to allow me to rejoice in it. Is because I see Christ in you, the hope of glory. The treasure that you are to our Father. How much Dad loves you. And I sure love Dad, and I sure love what Dad loves. Dad adores you. He talks about you all the time. I listen to what he says about you. And as we grow up, we get Dad's heart. And we love one another. And there isn't anything else that we have except the height of wanting one another to achieve to that place of where Dad has called us. And as much glory as it would be for my own life to live and to receive that hope of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, I receive just as much as you run. And that's the truth. That's not some syrupy speech. That's the truth. Would not that same transformation happen in our lives as the Apostle Paul is? You could just see the transformation in him was accelerated all the time because of those that were receiving the word of God along with him. Those that took that same crown glory message and ran with him. All it did was just increase his faith and his love and his joy. Now do you see why it's so important for us to gather, to assemble, to pray, and to believe, and to thank the Lord together for that one hope of his calling that he's given us. Now, Paul said that our love would grow more and more for one another. David, another one that was after the heart of God, the Lord had him say it like this: isn't it good and pleasant that brethren would dwell together in unity? If you go into really seeing and defining that, most of us know that word dwell means to settle down in marriage. Even back then, those secret things, those hidden meanings that were there for us who would believe at this time, the Lord was using all of that to bring us into a fellowship that we would come in and understand we're the body of the spouse for Jesus. That's what he's preparing. The majority of the church is asleep to it. We understand that. I pray for my brethren, but I'm so thankful to God that we need to press on. I can't wait and something for me to try to stir up. The Lord said, stir up the gift that's within you, Jess. run on, honey. You run with me, hallelujah. And some will run with me too, and we'll all run together. And I thank God how beautiful it is to see those thoroughbreds going after that mark for the prize together. But we thank God that this is a calling for us. But today are we fighting against the forces of Satan, truly, to stand in this love. I'm hearing a lot today, and I know we all are, about love, what love should look like, what love should be like. But here we are in Isaiah chapter 38. And I believe that it's best to always listen to the Lord what true love is. So let's let him tell us this morning in verse 17. To put this into context, this is Hezekiah. He was sick. He wanted to recover. He sought the Lord to heal him, and the Lord did. And the Lord gave him these words to say and to speak. But brothers and sisters, this was much more than just Hezekiah's life that he calls back to God herewith. This is speaking to us and what God has done and how in love he has always been with us. In verse 17, he says, "Behold, for peace I had bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Something very special about that verse. It's the first time in the Word of God that you'll find the phrase "in love." And how beautiful that the Lord defines how in love he is with us. The true expression of it. He forgave our sin. That's how in love he was. And once again, how God does that. He put them behind our back. Our precious brother touched on that on Friday night. God shows you that. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We've been rejoicing about that on Wednesday nights, haven't we? This in love. Before space and time, Jesus was in love. I was rejoicing on Wednesday night with those that were here and online. Many ask, what was at beginning? The bride. The bride was on his heart. He's in love. This is God, and God is love. Why would not God be in love beginning? Praise the Lord. But God tells us this, that this was his great love. It was shown in the forgiveness of sin. In Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, it says, even when we were dead in sin, God's love loved. God's love loved. Romans 5, verse 8, he says it this way. I love when he says it this way and that way. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. See, the Lord said that long time ago. But in Romans 5, 8, he said, but God commendeth. God commanded his love. Isn't that something? He doesn't just love, he commands it. You get down there, love. And you go just stir it up in that heart. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, there's a lot of judgment going on right now. And the sad thing is, God's people, some, are being drawn into it. Did we so soon forget, brothers and sisters, judge no man after the flesh? Did we forget who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Amen? Yet, it seems that we've forgotten as well too, you that are without fault, go ahead and cast the first stone. And I'm a little bit embarrassed, saints. I am. There's a lot of rock throwing. What are we doing? It's shameful. For us who know and us who believe. And I thank God for that third song today. Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. Amen? Oh, yes. Here comes the love punch. Sometimes he has to hit us with it, amen? But you really think sometimes that we're so full of love, don't we? Well, how full of love are you? Have you forgiven one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you? I'm glad you're very quiet, because you really need to just soak that one in. It's a big bite, isn't it? I'm so full of love, but have I forgiven my brother as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you? Or did he not have to forgive you for as much? I want to be like that one that the Lord was talking about. Who's going to receive the most in heaven? You know, they were out there thinking that it was the one that the Lord didn't have to forgive too much about. The Lord told him straight up, didn't he? Well, I guess it'd be the one that had to have the most forgiven. Amen. Lord always comes right at the self-righteous. Bam! You just got ran over again. Every time I start to get puffed up, bam! God in his wonderful humility that he brings in his love. And let this be that time. We're all in it. We all need to receive it time and time again. Because all the enemy wants to do is to get every one of us up in arms and angry and mad at one another. God help us. We're family. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. And aren't we glad that he didn't wait to love us till we got over our sin? Did you hear that? Are you glad that he didn't wait to love you before you got over your sin? Because let me tell you something, that never would have happened. That never would have happened. What changed in our life? What continues to change in our life? Bring change, it's love, isn't it? That's exactly what it is. And that's why this wonderful whole counsel, this Paul's gospel, is so vital. And that's why at this time, brothers and sisters, don't turn away from it. See, the enemy will, that's all he wants to do to us. In this assembly, those that hear this wonderful message, all he's out for is to turn you off one degree from this mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what he's going to use and what he's going to try to use is he's going to try to use other saints. He wants you to blame flesh, but you're not blaming flesh. You're trying to blame God. You're blaming God that somehow God had something out of sort to defeat you from going on to God's best. And you know that the Lord would not do that. You know for a fact God would never do that. And the Lord brings trial, just like Sister sang. I love that. Lord, don't move that mountain. Strengthen me to climb that mountain. Don't let me just to run away and get help. Let me go forward. Who is that uncircumcised Philistine? And that's anything that speaks against our God. It's the truth. God didn't bring you to a place to defeat you. He brought you to that place that you can't go on. You can't face it, but God already did. And in faith and believing, you may not see how the way is going to be made through, but you know the outcome. Praise be to God, I've already got victory over this thing. And that has to be continually reminded in our hearts over and over all the time. Because we come up against different stuff over and over all the time. But remember who orders your steps. That this wasn't something that caught God unawares for you. He was working on this stuff before he set all of that incredible stuff out there that we all want to go see and send all those satellites to show us all the beauty and all the magnificence. And it's great. It's fantastic. But be about what God is doing in the one thing that he has all his attention toward. And that's you and your brethren. Amen. 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 But see, brothers and sisters, this is what this is about. God loved us and loves through everything about us. And that's the love of Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are we that mature, brothers and sisters? Are we that mature in this place? Everybody in this place is not to full maturity. And matter of fact, all of us are still growing because you know what? We're all here. We're all here. We haven't achieved some mark at this moment. There's still more. There's more glory. Praise God. But we're all at different parts of growth. You have to remember that. You know, even as kids, and kids can do some real bad things, stupid things, ignorant things, but even things that they just don't understand. I tell on myself all the time, and my brothers and sisters tease me still today. Probably shouldn't tell on myself of this. I just love to take a knife and stick it into a socket. And I did. That's what's wrong with me. Multiple times. It took a long time to learn. It never felt good. Never mind. Don't do that. Not advocating that at all. Thank God he kept me. But what I'm saying is that it was just ignorance. I don't do that still today. I grew up. I don't want to do that. It hurts. It's bad. It can kill you. That kind of get through a little bit? Have some compassion one to another. Don't be like them turkeys Brother Hill would talk about, pecking one another to death, waiting for someone to do something wrong. Pray, be quick to pray. But just because your brother or sister truly might be acting up, and maybe they've been acting up all their lives and they need to come to an awakening in these things, that doesn't mean to turn away from the truth. If anything, that should be to set your course even more for it. Believe the Lord more for it. Aren't we, by the grace of God, those that are getting this today, aren't you that miracle? Or were you somehow, you were just born perfect and you had everything just lined up easy for you? I'll tell you what, life hasn't been easy for me. It's hard. It's still hard. I still got this flesh. I don't know about you, but I think you got it too. Matter of fact, I know you do. And it's not easy. It wants to validate. It wants justice. It wants all these different things. I'm not saying that, naturally speaking, those can't be a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, God's about something even more. He wasn't about taking somebody's life and running it down a lotus land of ease. He wasn't. He was about hardness and enduring hardship. All of our brethren that we read about and our sisters in the Word of God, they came out of a lot of unfair things, horrible things. Were kept in it. Some of them never even delivered naturally from it. But God, he was magnified in it. All of these things. And that's the beauty of the Lord. And knowing everything about what God has for us who believe. And I'm so thankful because, as a Christian, that is what's ours. But the question is, do we believe? Do we receive that faith? And do we become those mature ones as a father in the Lord that can truly help one another? As opposed to stirring things up that would be of the devil's devices that do one thing, to get people away from the truth. Amen. Amen. The one thing by the grace of God that I pray we always do is we stand in the word of his grace. To stand in the word of his grace. And truly to lift up our brother's hands. Sometimes they don't want to be lifted up, but you still lift them up. You still lift them up. You still pray for them. I was so thankful to receive that from many throughout my lifetime, watching different ones that were hurt so horribly in all different ways. Those ones that were the stalwarts of faith, they prayed for their enemies. And they stayed in the truth. They stayed in the truth, and they prayed for their enemies. That's the order. Praise God. Now, should we not be as Christ if we profess ourselves Christians? Turn on over to Romans 14. I love a sermon with a Bible study, don't you? Romans 14, verse 10. It says there, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." The judgment seat of Christ is going on right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is. And we thank the Lord, and we're very glad of this, because Christ's judgment seat is judging for reward. Yes. There is a great white throne of judgment that will happen someday. Not one Christian will ever stand before that throne. And the reason is because the reason of Christ's seat of judgment that's going on right now for us, because of that beautiful blood that our precious sister sang about today, there's nothing to judge of God's precious people of any sin. Because I believe we started this whole thing out, Jesus was so in love with us that he put all of our sins behind our back. All right? Praise the Lord. So we can conclude very quickly that the only thing that would be judged for us as Christians at this time is for reward. So don't make grace to only fit what you want. Did you hear that? Don't make grace fit to only what you want grace to fit. Grace is for everything, and grace is for everyone. Know this. Know that grace is there. Romans 14, 19. Let's read that. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another." I want to promote, by God's grace, fruit in my brethren. Amen. I don't want to promote wrath. That's not what this is about. That's not what Jesus and his precious word is. When we speak truth in love, it will promote, praise God, that fruit. And the Apostle Paul, he lived that. And I thank the Lord for it. The word that came forth from the Apostle Paul, it chastened his brethren. It corrected them too. Yes, it did. And in truth, all of it was affixed. It was on the mark for encouraging his brethren for reward. Reward. It was always about reward. Paul rebuked when Christians would revert to legality. He rebuked the Christians when they would reject strong meat. He rebuked the Christians when they would only settle for milk when they should be eating strong meat. He rebuked Christians like Peter when they were reverting to self-righteousness. He rebuked, and he said about his precious brother Demas, who taught the word with him, "Demas has fallen in love with this present world and is left." That's the rebuke that came forth. That was the chastening that came forth. And we need to wake up, brothers and sisters, because that's what's in the heart of God. He wants us to wake up, to judge no man after the flesh, but have a life that we would be edifying one another, bringing spiritual encouragement. And as we read about that word edification, it's the same meaning as dispensation. Paul's dispensation. I want to be bringing to you always that message of the reward. What are we doing? We got a crown. Keep your eyes on that crown. That's the joy. You start letting something else just take that joy, what happens is you begin to let that go. And then that crown is taken away. I want that joy. But the only way that that joy is, I hold that fast. It's my keepsake. It's everything. It's my treasure. It's locked up in here. Hallelujah. It's in a chamber. You look at the
churches that fell away from God's best. Right over there in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And I'll tell you this right now. Each and every one of us, we find ourselves somewhere in one of them churches. All right? You got seven of them there. Five of them, they fell short. Pergamos, idols. Thyatira, idols. Idols will get you every time. They all better be cast down. All. Then you go on to Sardis. They just fell away from the Word of God. Kind of fell asleep. Laodicea, they got ignorant and indifferent. I don't need that. How many times I've heard people say, I don't need that gospel. Oh, yes, you do. I know you need it, and especially if you really desire God's perfect will, you do need this gospel. But then finally, so sadly, you arrive to the church of Ephesus. And what a shame. They were in first love and they left it. They chose to divorce it. That word left means divorce. They chose to divorce that love. That's heavy, isn't it? God forbid we would ever be to that point. That we would just again, well, I know you love me. I know you're always faithful to me. I know that there wasn't one moment that you didn't bring joy to my life, but I want a divorce. You ever think of it that way? Nothing to blame. Loved you passionately. Was there every single moment. Every need, every supplying of everything in your life. Obviously, there's no spouse that's ever been like that except Jesus. I think he's got your attention now. Thank you, Lord. They all loved something more than the truth. They all were more passionate working something of the world in their lives than allowing the Word to work in their life. We all face that from time to time. And we have to battle against that. We can just subtly, that enemy, he's a tricky one. And he'll get us to want to work something of the world in us and shelve the Word to be worked in us. God forbid. This is this awakening that he wants in our lives. See, the Lord is seeking the true worshiper. We're talking about in love, first love, only love that worships him. And the winners of that crown, there's two churches that are shown there. The church of Smyrna, they're the ones, as the Word of God shows, that they're the ones that pass away prior to the coming of the Lord. But the beautiful thing about their lives is the day and the moment they passed, they were loving and living for his appearing. Praise be to God. But that church of Smyrna, it says that they come out of trial, that they were poor, they endured blaspheme, ridicule, but yet they were full of faith for a crown. Isn't that something? They just loved that crown. Didn't matter what they went through. They knew nothing was worthy to be compared to that crown. And then you have that beautiful company of Philadelphia. We hope to be alive and remaining at the time of the coming of the Lord. Who has not denied my name has kept the word of my patience. And that means to guard from injury like a fortress. And I love this. It means to remain unmarried. You love him that much? As I told a brother, and I've told many, the Lord's making it really easy. There ain't anything I want to marry here. Remember how people would say, oh yeah, I want to get this done, I want this, I want to just get out of here. You don't think God's gracious? He is. He's doing these things for us. He's not allowing us to slumber. He's really not. I thank the Lord for the joy that he gives me, but it's always him, no matter what it is. But the things of this world, they're not just growing strangely dim.
they're just nuts. And things that used to be so beautiful that you could enjoy and get out and do, it just seems that those things are being taken away more and more all the time. I'm so thankful to God that He's doing that. He's faithful. Think about what He had to do to Job finally. All those things that He allowed. I've heard of Him. But now mine eyes see. They see my salvation. Now this is a moment, brothers and sisters. It's a brief little moment that's going to soon pass. And God help us that this time would be redeemed. How can I say I love the Lord whom I have not seen when I don't love my brother whom I have? Let me tell you something. We need love and more love all the time. Amen. But understanding that it's a joy to love one another. Full joy loves one another. I'm so thankful for that love. It's made my life full. And remember this, that same love is without judgment. That doesn't mean to just love the lovely. Lord loved us unlovelies. So, we pray for one another, but also pray for yourself. Lord, sincerely, whether I be in the faith. And only God knows the intents of the heart, brothers and sisters. Only God does. Not you, not me, and not anyone. And if we're going to go around with doubting and wrath toward a brother or sister in the Lord, and especially that loves Paul's gospel, I pray everybody's listened to this. If we're going to go around that way with one another, doubting and wrath, even though we're praising the Lord with lifted hands, and I hold that doubt and wrath, I tell you what, I better get healed real quick. Because you will not abide in this message. You won't, honeys. It's not here. It's not here. It's here. It's here, honey. The Father sure loves you. I see His glory just sitting upon you. Just breathe Him. Hallelujah. It's almost hard to contain myself sometimes when He shows me a vision of what is yours. Praise God. Let's pray.
Children, love not the world, for all that is in the world is the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Love without dissimulation.
Father, we thank You, and just again look to You. And Lord, in Jesus' name, my heart is quickened. I pray especially for those that God You've called in such depth of truth and love. To the fathers that be in the faith, God, encourage them. Lord, don't let them back down one bit at this time. God, help them to bring that anointing salve the golden apples, the honey, to the brethren, God, to ones that might be a little dismayed, ones that might be discouraged, ones that might be confused. Lord, help those that know this gospel, that love this gospel. Give them opportunity, Jesus, to stand and withstand, and having done all, to stand. Lord, truly to take that one that is by the roadside and bring them in and bind them wounds, Lord God, and tend to that. But Lord, we know this. This isn't in the way man thinks of it. This is in the way that you've given truly, as the Apostle Paul was given it, to stand in the truth and love, to not waver, God, from the calling of the high calling of who we are in Christ. Now we give you the praise and honor and glory. And Lord, let us take this today and ponder these things. God, let them work in us who believe. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.